If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And this is a very familiar passage of Scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, are the source of victory. We know it's not in self, but it's in Him. He is the source of our victory. Well, he looked immense, standing some 9 feet tall. If he was living today, he would probably be the highest paid basketball player in all the world because he could slam it standing flat footed. His armor gripped him as tight as a tourniquet, clutching a sword and a spear. Looking like a Sherman tank wrapped in human skin. He wore a sweatband around his head made of the skin of a lion's carcass. When he walked, it was though a mini earthquake was taking place, registering 3.0 on the Richter scale. His voice was like a clap of thunder as he marched to the battlefield and hurled his abuses at the children of God. His name, Goliath. And a good question that I would ask you this morning, would you take him on? You know, they were scared. They were running like scared rabbits, but would you take him on? Would you line up and say, come on, big boy, I'm ready for you? Well, Goliath might be a formidable decision that confronts us. It might be a personal problem that is causing difficulty. It might be a family problem that we're having to deal with. But whatever it is, we know that Goliath is before us, and the tendency is that we just run. That we just run and try to get away from the problem, but you can't run that far. But there was one young man who chose not to run. His name was David. One day Jesse said to his son David, I want you to go and check on our sons that are fighting in the battle. I hear that the soldiers are at a standstill. Go check on them. And when David got there, he noticed that they were scared. In fact, he didn't understand just why, but he knew that they were scared. And all of a sudden, there came a cry from the Philistine side of the battlefield. And out came that giant of a man named Goliath, and he hurled out his insults. And he challenged anyone to come and fight him. But they ran like scared rabbits. When the dust had cleared, David said, who is this infidel that comes out and defies the living God of Israel? Who is this infidel? There's none like him, said the brothers. They were frightened. He's just an awesome man. Nonsense, said David. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. I like that kind of confidence. You know, I ran around with a young man. He was short and small, but he was a rascal. and he didn't think there was anybody in the world that he couldn't whip. But I tried to tell him. I said, Billy, he's a whole lot bigger than you. And he kind of had that attitude. He'd come up, the first thing he would do, And his brother arranged a lot of fights for him. And what he would do, he'd come up, and while they thought they was going to kind of introduce himself, he'd just haul off and hit him. And the fight was on. And if that first lick didn't stop it, he was in trouble. Well, Goliath, Eliab said to David, David, you're out of your mind. You're crazy if you think you can fight this giant of a man. Now, Eliab tried to discourage David. And you know, there's always a lot of folks around just like Eliab. Their words are all disheartening. Their message is, you just can't do it. You'll never pass that exam. You'll never qualify for law school or med school. Your marriage won't work. You can't do it. Well, some people seem to hold membership in the WWCDI society, the won't work, can't do it society. Well, now, David knew the source of his strength. He knew it was not in his might, not in his armor. He knew that he could not do it on his own, and he found out the place of our greatest strength might be our weakness. Reminds me of the familiar story of and it's a true story about a beggar who wandered into a church in a southern community seeking work. It just so happened, said the preacher, that we do have some work around here. And the minister offered him a job on a 3-day trial basis. And the beggar accepted the job. When the 3 days had passed, the beggar came in to the office to receive his pay. And the minister said, you've done an exceptional job. Would you like to stay here permanently? To which he said, sure. Good, said the minister. Just take these employment papers, fill them out, read them carefully, fill them out, and then sign your name at the bottom. Well, the man dropped his head, and the preacher said, did I say something wrong? Did I say something to offend you? No, the beggar said, but you see, I can't read or write. Oh, really, said the minister. If you can't read or write, perhaps I ought to get somebody else to do this job. So he left the church, and he took his paycheck, and he went down and bought fruits and vegetables and went out on the side of the road, on the busy road, and began to sell fruits and vegetables. He sold all of them, and a little bit later, he went and got some more, and he sold all of them, and that just went on and on. After a while, he bought a big warehouse, and he became the largest fruit and vegetable dispenser in all of that area. And he had made, they said, over $1 million. He went into the bank, and he came in, and he was well known. He was an entrepreneur, and everybody knew about him. They thought he had done a marvelous job. So he came in, and the bank said, what can I do for you? He said, well, I'd like to open an account. He said, good. He got the papers, put them out, gave them to him, and said, you fill them out, sign your name, and we'll open your account. And he dropped his head. And the banker says, what's wrong? He said, I can't read or write. He said, you can't read or write? You mean to tell me that you have acquired a financial fortune and you can't read or write? That's right, said the beggar. Incredible, said the banker. With such business acumen as you obviously possess, do you know where you would be if you could read or write? He said, yeah, I'd be a janitor at the local church. Sometimes our weakness is the place of our greatest strength. David knew that. And that knowledge was that which compelled him to the battlefield to fight that big giant, because he knew I can't do it myself, but I know who can. Well, confidence. David believed in himself. They said, David, you can't do it. He said, thanks for your advice, but perhaps you have not looked closely at my resume. He said, I took the lion by the hair of its head, and I killed the lion. A bear came to steal the sheep. I killed the bear. Confidence in yourself is the first necessity in order for you to fight your giants in your life. There's a story about a rookie reporter whose great ambition was to be able to anchor the evening news. Well, one evening, he was there. He was a roving reporter for the station, but one evening, just before the newscast, while the anchor got sick. And the producer came and said, this is your day. I know you've always wanted to be an anchor, and you get a chance to prove yourself. And so he was to be the anchor that night. Well, he quickly scanned the news, and a story came in right at the last. And he gasped at the thought of trying to properly pronounce the name of the prime minister. It said, the prime minister of Afghanistan, Abdul Somali Haji Khan Begin, that's close, had just been assassinated. So he opens up the service, or the service. he opened up the newscast, said, we have news that the prime minister of Afghanistan has died, and we're withholding the name to where we can notify the next of kin. You got to have confidence in yourself. And then you need to recognize your resources. David not only believed in himself, but he knew who gave him the resources to be able to win and have victory. When he came before the king tried to talk him out of it, but he said he was going to go and fight. And the king said, well, if you're going to go and fight Goliath, you've got to look as awesome as he is. I want you to put on my armor. Take my sword and my shield, and I want you to go out and fight him. So David goes into the king's dressing room, and he puts on the armor, and he looks at himself in the mirror, and he looked like a toddler with his dad's three-piece suit on. And so he took it off, and he said to the king, if you don't mind, if it's all right with you, I'll just use my own weapons. And he said, what might that be? He said, a sling. Say what? A sling? David replied, I have fought against many an enemy with that sling, and God has given the victory. He said, you might as well throw snowballs against the Rock of Gibraltar to think you can win and go with a sling. But here's the formula for your being able to face your Goliath. You plus God equals everything you'll ever need. Listen, there are battles to be fought every day in our lives. It can be in our marriage. It can be in our workplace. It can be wherever we are. But God will give you the strength and the resources to overcome. Goliath may inflict a few wounds. He may hurt you a little bit, but God will give you the victory. Little boy whose left arm had been severed in an accident came to Sunday school, and hoping to avoid making him feel, you know, lose his confidence and make him feel conspicuous, the teacher decided to do, not to do anything like she normally did to make the kids use their hands together. But she forgot at the end of the class, she said, now kids, let's go and let's build a church together. And so when the kids started to put their hands together, she realized what she had done. And she didn't know, what am I going to do? When the little girl next to that boy said, here, you take my left arm and let's build the church together. And that's really what God intends for us to do today, build the church together. We can't do it by ourselves, but through him, we can build the church. And the final thought is trust. There's one thing David did that I think empowered him to be able to fight Goliath. He trusted God completely. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He didn't say, I can do all things, but I can do them through Christ. That's the source of our victory this morning. When we trust in God, our perspective on life changes. Let me give you a little illustration about perspective. A young lady went to college, and after the first semester, she sent back a letter to mom and dad, and it read like this. Dear mom and dad, I just thought I'd drop you a note and let you in on my plans. I've fallen in love with a guy called Jim. He quit high school after the 11th grade in order to get married. About a year ago, he got a divorce, and we've been living together almost 2 months and plan to get married in the fall. Until then, I've decided to move into his apartment because I think I'm going to have a baby. At any rate, I dropped out of school last week, although I'd like to finish college sometime in the future. Can you imagine how they felt when they read that? But it said at the bottom, turn the page. Then on the other side, it said, Dear Mom and Dad, I just wanted you to know that everything I've written on the front side of this letter is false. For this much is true. I got a C in French, and I flunked math. It's also true I need money. Love your daughter. What do you think they did? Oh, what a relief it is, you know? They probably started seeing. But perspective. But David went down with his sling. He went down to the brook, picked up 5 smooth stones, stuck them in his pouch. Goliath was coming from the other side, and I can see David as he, in fact, the Bible said he ran towards Goliath. I mean, he was pretty confident, wasn't he, to run towards that 9 1/2 foot tall giant of a man that was a warrior from his youth up. And he runs out to meet him. And Goliath looked at him and said, am I a dog that they would send a youth of a ruddy complexion, reddish complexion, just a child to fight me, a seasoned veteran? But David said, I'm going to feed your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field this day. I'm going to cut your head off. And so David put a stone. He just took one because God was guiding the direction. And he took that, and I've never been good. Billy made me a sling, and I've still got it on my desk in there. But, you know, he went like that, and he cut loose, and it stuck him right here in the head. And he dropped like a stone. David didn't have a sword. He's going to cut his head off, but he didn't have a sword. But Goliath had a big one. He pulled that out, and you know, when they saw their champion was dead, they began to run like scared rabbits. children of Israel that had been cowering in the trenches back there, they got all emboldened. And they came out of those trenches and they came with their swords and spears and they chased after the Philistines. God gave the victory that day. But it was all because of a young man by the name of David that believed in God. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. God bless, and he has blessed Israel ever since. But sometimes God needs a man that he can use to step up to the plate and do what needs to be done. Here in this world, in this church, in families, in churches, God works through people. He needs people to step up and do what's right. God will empower you, and you'll have some pressure against you by the devil. He'll send Goliath against you, and they'll attack you, but God will give you the victory. Let's trust him. Let's bow.